Morning, church. Morning, SB. Morning also those who are listening online. So let's start in prayer. Father, we bless you. We honor you. You are so good. You are so faithful. You are so powerful, Lord God. And Lord God, you are always, Lord God, faithfully carrying out the promises and the words that comes out in your mouth. That every words that it comes out, Lord God, it will not return empty, that it will accomplish. As you continue, Lord God, today to study, Lord God, the book of Acts, as the inspiration of the God, the Holy Spirit, put forth in the hands of your believer, Lord God, to write down the record, Lord God, these wonderful works of your hands, establishing the early church to the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you, God, for just opening our understanding and receiving, Lord God, the truth, and may apply, Lord God, even today, and be led by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the last time we met, we look on the Acts chapter 7, wherein we studied that it increasingly great multiplying and great increase of the church in the early church in Jerusalem. But as the church increased, the opposition also increased. And in chapter 7, we can see here that Stephen, one of the seven, had been chosen in chapter 6 to be one of the deacons, has been being interrogated and questioned by the Sanhedrin. And you know that Sanhedrin, this is the powerful religious group at that time, wherein composed of a high priest, and they have this authority and power to punish anyone that they could prove that is teaching in contrary of what is in the Bible. So right now they seize Stephen and they're questioning, and the same, and we know that in chapter 7 verse 1 is the same very question and the same very people that is interrogating and asking question to the Lord Jesus Christ when they are persecuting it and looking and evidence and a solid charge so that they can punish the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did succeeded, not because that they are successful in their way, but this is the plan of God that Jesus was going to suffer on the cross. And now in chapter 7, they are doing the same tactics because it is the same enemy who is over influencing them to do such thing to persecute the church or the believers of Christ Jesus. And here they are now questioning Stephen, and we have seen in chapter 7 in how the Holy Spirit give wisdom and the right utterance of word to Stephen, to the point that he recounted the story of how God called the people of Israel and how God's so faithful in delivering and guiding them towards going to the promised land, delivering them from the hands of the Egypt, which is enslaving them. And now, and how the Lord being faithful, and how this people of Israel being so stubborn and continue rebelling and did not receiving the word and not obeying God. And now Stephen in chapter 7 rebuked these very people that they are stiff-necked and having an uncircumcised heart and ears because of continually, you know, breaking the covenant, what the Lord Jesus, what the Lord our God are giving to their forefather, and the same these people now are being rejecting the Holy Spirit. And this also recorded in chapter 7, the first martyr, or the first believer that had been died and stoned to death, and his name is Stephen. And at the end of chapter 7, we don't know why that the name Saul is surfaced, that people who are witnessing why Stephen is being stoning, they putting their garments at the feet of this person named Saul. And that's where we're going to start on chapter 8. So let's read chapter 8 right now. Acts chapter 8. Saul agreed with putting him to death. On the day a severe persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria, devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter the house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way, preaching the word. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said as they listened and saw the signs and he was performing. For unclean spirit crying out with loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. A man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in the city and amazed the Samaritan people. Were claiming to be somebody great, they all paid attention to him from the least of them to the greatest, and they said, "This man is called the great power of God." They were attentive to him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Even Simon himself believed, and after he was baptized, he followed Philip everywhere and was amazed as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, went down there and prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on the apostles' hand, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wicked of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness. Pray to the Lord for me," Simon replied, "so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So after they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they traveled back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south of the road and goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariots on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go join the chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scriptures passage he was reading was, "He was led a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb he is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell the good news about Jesus, beginning with the scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came out of water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Bless the reading of the word of God. Amen. So chapter 8, as we continue, we have now, it is being now more given a information with regards to Saul. Saul is the one said in verse 1 of chapter 8, approve the death of Stephen. Now, the word said approve, meaning this person's soul has a position probably in the Sanhedrin, because he cannot approve, he cannot give anything approval or this kind of sentence if he is not powerful or influential. And that time, this group or this Sanhedrin is the or the group of the council can only approve or do such thing to approve a death or a stoning of a person. Now, who is this Saul? Saul in Acts chapter 23 describe himself as a Pharisee. He is a son of a Pharisee. And Acts chapter 8 verse 3 is the one who is ravaging the church, entering house after house, and when they found of the way, drug up men and women and put them in prison. He is the one leading the persecution and entering house to house to get all those believers and following the way. The word ravaging here is just like a beast ripping the flesh of its prey. This is how this persecution, it is how this soul, a Pharisee, is persecuting the early church at that time. Imagine entering house to house and, you know, asking, or probably, you know, investigating every person of the house. And then when he saw, and probably even when he just had that small cling that this person is part of the way, and he will get them and put them in prison. And also in chapter 9, verse 1, 3, the soul have an access to the council. Probably, we have said before that he might be part of the Sanhedrin. That's why he has this power to approve or get and capture all these people who is following the way. So this is the kind of person Saul is. And even, you know, even get a letter to go into one place and then to just get all the Christian believers and then put it in prison. In other words, this soul is the number one persecutor of the early church at that time. You know, we know that a Pharisee is also, they know the law, but they miss the right message, they miss the Messiah, they miss the coming of the Messiah. Even they know the law because they look on their own interpretation, they look more on the outward works application rather than, you know, the changes in their heart to put that word in their heart and really, you know, let that word works in their life, not the other way around, that them works in the word or the truth or the word of God. So Saul is the number one persecutor at that time. Now, as we read in chapter 8, because of this great persecution that causes the early church to be scattered, said in the word, is broke out and is scattered throughout the land. And they are scattered in Judea and Samaria. So the more than 5,000 believers in the early church was scattered from Judea and Samaria. And it said that only the apostles remain in Jerusalem. Now what, why is these things happened to them? Is it the early church was having disobedience? Is it the early church? Is this the will of God for them to be scattered? They're already flourishing in Jerusalem. And I think probably that was the will of the Lord for them to flourish, that the gospel will increase, the believer will come into Jesus, people will come into Jesus and believe. But this time, the persecution came, and then they were scattered in Judea and Samaria. Note that it is particularly is they scattered in Judea and Samaria. Let's see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 why particularly they scattered these two towns in Samaria and Judea. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. This is his last word, giving it to the disciples. Said that, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Says the Lord Jesus, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And now they are flourishing, they are increasing in numbers, but it will not stop there. As we see, you will be witness with me in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all Samaria, and all and the end of the earth. The instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ is they were going to witness first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria. But at this time in chapter 9, they are flourishing now. The church in Jerusalem is flourishing now. And then the great persecution, probably they don't want to go out in Jerusalem. Oh, we are so successful in here. We can see all many people are coming into Christ. We are doing right with witness in Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus Christ's instruction is not only in Jerusalem, but it should be Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Lord Jesus, our God, used this persecution in order that his plan to be carried out. The people scattered in Judea and Samaria, and all of them preached the gospel. You know, sometimes church, there are things happen to our life that it is sometimes it is hard to understand. You know, sometimes when I'm trying to reflect, when I am not yet a believer in Christ, my life is okay. But you know, even though it is far from my relationship to the Lord, my life is okay. But the moment I received Christ in my life, the more it became better and better and better. But there are things happening in my life that I have never been experienced in my life when I was not yet in relation with the Lord Jesus. Persecution and testings. And I do believe that those testings and persecution, as James said, that God uses for this for us to be strengthened, to be really, you know, strengthen our faith and belief in God. And this is also the one way that God, the Lord, our God, used these persecutions in order to carry out his plan. And one of the examples of that is when the thing happens to, you know, I can give later on some example. Now, on this, we know that the church is scattered. And we read that Philip, the apostles, went down to Samaria and began to preach the word of God. Begin to preach the death and resurrection of Christ and doing signs and wonders. Philip is the first evangelist that reached out outside Jerusalem. And also those scattered. Philip, one of the apostles of Christ, original disciples of Christ. And then they do, he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he done signs and wonders. And we have read that this Samaria is never, they've never been heard this kind of teachings. And they see the signs and wonders, healings, you know, freeing up the man that's being possessed, of a demon possessed. And they are all wonders and astonished of what Philip, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has done. And they began to receive and believe and being baptized by Philip. And there's a one man said named Simon. This Simon, before Philip came and preached the gospel, he is well known. He said he is the power of God. He make, you know, magic, his sorceries. But there's something different of the apostles are being done, because the apostles, what they are doing is people changed. People got healed. People transformed the light, the blind, the demon possessed, and healing comes. The signs and wonders pointing out, when you say signs, is pointing out to the power, pointing out to Jesus, pointing out the goodness of the Messiah that made to us possible and accessible because of his death and resurrection. And that's what the signs is pertaining about, for the signs and wonders. And this Simon saw what the apostles is doing when Peter and John went down in order to lay hands to the people of the believers of Samaria, because they are just baptized with Philip in water, so that they will receive the Holy Spirit. This Simon the sorcerer saw what happened. And have read that even Simon got baptized and believed what Philip is preaching. So when he saw Peter and John baptized and the people, the believers, received the Holy Spirit, he was amazed. And I want that kind of power. Simon said to his heart. And he even get to Peter and John, and he offered money. You know, meaning this Simon did not receive the Holy Spirit, because he is observing, and now he wants this kind of anointing, I say anointing or power, so that, you know, it seems his aim is good. He said in his word that, let me read, give me this power also, so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. It seems that aim and his word, it seems correct, right? That he may lay hands and receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter and John rebuke him, because the Simon trying to buy and give money, and Peter said, oh, you cannot buy money, this kind of power and anointing. And instead, Peter rebuke him in verse 21, you have no part of share in his matter, because your heart is not right before God. And in verse 23, Peter said your heart had been poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness. Peter saw his heart. Even this person believed what Philip and got baptized, but still there's something in his heart. And Peter said, he is operating in bitterness and bound by wickedness. So the intent of his heart is laid bare in the eyes of the apostles. And Peter and John discern what really true is the heart content of Simon the sorcerer. To us today in the church, it is the church ministers. Is the responsibility to discern who is going to discern a person who is going to volunteer and work in a church. You know, yesterday that we have also our devotion with Colin on the staff. It's, I don't know, it's today or last Monday night that he shared that even the enemy sent an emissary of Satan, of the wickedness, to destroy and even attack and create havoc in the church. So that is why it is the work, just like in this time that Peter discerned this Simon, that this one is, you know, is not right before God, and the motive of his heart is not correct because he has bitterness and bound by wickedness. And praise and glory to God, because the wisdom that the Lord are given to SP. You know, the first time what we arrived in SP, and then I heard that, okay, those who are want to be volunteered or led to be volunteered, they need to undergo and finish growing in Christ. And then, what is that growing in Christ? And then when we enrolled, oh, this is basic truth. No, that's the first reaction in my heart. Why do we have to go undergo and finish this? Isn't it that we already done so many kinds of discipleship, and most of them is part of what we are studying? That's my reaction. And now I understand that, you know, this is the wisdom that God gave to SP in order to know more about the person, to discern what is probably, you know, because we came from different kind of churches and background, to discern what is really the doctrine or the teaching that person receive, and at the same time to establish a relationship. And during that time, you know, the minister will sow and see what is your stand on faith and the truth that you have received. That is why it is so wonderful that we have this kind of discipleship before going into volunteering in the ministry. And then Peter and John going back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. And verse 26 to 40, let me just quick. Then the angel of the Lord, Philip, gave an instruction to meet Eunuch. Now Eunuch is the one is castrated, and the other one is trusted by the king to look over their concubine and wife, because they know that this person cannot make any trouble for him and their concubine or wife, and even giving them this authority to look on the treasury of their wife. And then we saw that the angel gave instruction to Philip to meet this person. You know, Eunuch in the Old Testament, those are not permitted. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 1, that no man whose testicles had been crossed and whose penis has been cut up may enter the Lord's assembly. So they are not permitted to enter and even, you know, mingled with the assembly because of this law in Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 31. But the angel of the Lord instructed Philip to go and meet this person. And when he met this person, he is reading the book in Isaiah. And then he asked, Philip asked, do you understand that? And the eunuch said, no, unless somebody is going to explain to me. And then Philip explain to him, and then when they come into water, you know, the eunuch said, oh, here's the water. What keeps me from being baptized? You know, Philip know and understand the law in Deuteronomy chapter 23, that, you know, it cannot be done because this is what the law. But right now, it is the angel instructing him to meet this person. Because it's also written in Isaiah chapter 56 verse 38, no foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord should say, the Lord will exclude me from his people. And the eunuch should not say, look, I am dried up tree. For the Lord says this, for the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold firmly to my covenant, I will give them in the house and within my walls a memorial in the name of better than sons and daughters. I will give each of them an everlasting name that will never be cut off. This is one way saying that the angel are now giving this prophecy to Philip, that you may now reach out even the unbeliever, even the Gentiles, not only the people of Israel, but even now the opening of the preaching of the gospel and salvation also to the Gentile. And as I continue to read, as for the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to become servant, all who keep Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold firmly to my covenant, I will bring them to my holy mountain, and let them rejoice in my house in prayer. Then, and after that, the baptism, after the baptism of the eunuch, and we see now the Spirit carried out Philip, and immediately he was in Azotus. Is it correct? Azotus. You know, Gaza, wherein he met eunuch, to Azotus is around 20 miles. This is supernaturally transporting Philip from one place to another. We don't know how that happened, but I do believe the same thing happened after the Lord Jesus had been baptized and the Spirit of God brought him into the wilderness. So it's a supernaturally transportation that the Holy Spirit made to Philip. You know what? I hope it still will be happening today. We're going to put from this place to the top of the mountain, wherein the tribe are not being, they never heard the gospel, and so that we could preach the gospel. Now, we can see that the work of the angel to give instruction and the leading of the Holy Spirit to Philip, in what place and whom person to be reached out, is all work of the Holy Spirit. You know what, church? The move of the Holy Spirit also in the church is to give direction, even to individual, to give us discernment. To whom should we share the word of God, and to whom should we entrust the work in the ministry? We clearly see the direction of the Holy Spirit in the early church, and even here now, Philip. And today, so they have been scattered in Judea and Samaria. But there's another one place that the Lord Jesus are given to disciples to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, church, we are now in the part of the end time era, and we are now the church that called to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are now in the ends of the earth. Just like in Matthew 24:14 said, this is the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We are in the last leg of proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. So if I may ask Wesley to lead us in worship. Today there are only few nations around the world that still unreached people group. The church should continue to advance in sharing the gospel so that the coming back of the Lord Jesus will be soon. We learn to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Are we faithful, wise servants? Or are we the lazy servants that being addressed as a wicked servant? The Lord Jesus gave a great commission. This is not only given to the apostles or the believers at that time. We are part of this great commission. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded. This is the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to every believer in the church. And as the early church later life to share the gospel, to preach the good news, we church should have the same dedication and passion to preach, to share the gospel, the goodness of God, to reach out lost souls, so that this early church started to the power of the Holy Spirit. We now are commissioned to preach the gospels to the ends of the earth. We'll do the same. Be led and directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's worship.
Out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. For feet may fail and fear surrounds me, I've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, you are mine. on your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Your Spirit, strength, and leading our church, even in early church and even today. Indeed, Lord God, that we could experience persecutions in obeying you, in following you, just like what happened in the early church. But God, we praise and glory, God, for even in the midst of persecutions, you are there. You are carrying out your plan. You are directing us and guiding us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Victory will come because you are the one who are leading us and strengthening us and giving us direction, Lord God. Thank you, God, as your church, part of, Lord God, of your body here in Hong Kong. Continue to lift up, Lord God, that we continue to do the mandate or the commission that you have given to us. We witness first, Lord God, in Hong Kong, Lord God, to the neighboring country, and even to the ends of the earth. And as individual believers, God, first we will be witness, first to our families, and then to our friends, to our co-workers, and then the people around us, our neighbors, and to the ends, to the earth, as you have lead us and direct us to go into mission. Thank you, Father, and we bless you. Thank you, God, for working so mightily in the church, and you're the same church giving us anointing and strength, discernment, and working the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this church. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's go now to our prayer focus in the community. Pray for our all those who are having cancer and they're going chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Pray for God's hands to continue working them, miracles and healing. Pray for faith to arise and hope, living hope, be in their heart. Let's pray. So lift up those who are having illness and also need of salvation. Pray for even in their sickbed or in the situation that they may see Christ working, reaching out and pursuing them, that they may receive the greater blessing, salvation in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. So lift up those or have infirmities, praying for God to lay hands those part of the body to be restored, to be healed in Jesus' mighty name. And it's promised that by His stripes we will heal. Let's pray. So also lift up all those who are praying for jobs. Pray for God's provision and open door for their employment. Let us pray. So also lift up our mission focus. Let's pray for SPBJ, for Pastor Hangsu and his family and his congregation. Also for SPHA, for Pastor Ricky and his family and his congregation, the Chung's family and the churches in China. Pray for God's continue prospering the proclamation of the gospel, covering and protection for the for each family and congregation, wisdom and growth, both spiritually and in numbers. Let us pray. So also pray for our board. Pray for God's anointing. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for the Holy Spirit directions and guidance. Peace and joy and unity and wisdom among them. And just praising God for their lives and their family as well. Also pray for all the fellowship, young adults, men's, women's, and even the hospitality and welcoming and coffee ministry. Let us pray. Also, let's lift up those pregnant mom in our community. Pray for a good health of both the mom and the baby. Pray for provision. Pray for lift of them for peace and joy, and smooth pregnancy term, and even the delivery time. So let's pray. So also lift off the house churches that will be meeting tonight. Pray for God's presence. Pray for Christ-centered sharing of the thoughts. Pray for building up and encouraging one another. Let's pray for the covering and protection and the blessings of the whole house, the house churches. Let's pray. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing, Lord God, guiding, leading your church, SP, and the rest of the church here in Hong Kong. Continue, Lord God, to be a witness, to preach the gospel, Lord God. Thank you for empowering us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for strengthening us, Lord God, even in the times of persecution, O Lord God, so that, Lord God, many will come, Lord God, into repentance. Many will believe and receive salvation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your church, SP, Lord God, that you continue empowering us, giving us the heart to witness, O Lord God, to reach out, O Lord God, and bless every ministries whom you are established, O Lord God, to reach out and to proclaim the gospel. We bless you, we honor you, O God. Strength and glory and power belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your prayer time and see you again tomorrow. God bless.